Let's pray. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we sit at thy feet for learning. A dear great Master, our Redeemer, we are here to listen, O Heavenly Father, to hear thy words of life. So teach us, open our heart, our ears, our mind, that we will gladly receive thy blessed words of life. Guide us, dear Father, give us wisdom and understanding, and that we would always meditate upon thy word and thy will, so that we can serve thee faithfully. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With God's help this evening, I would like to read 10 verses, first 10 verses from a very familiar chapter from Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15. Chapter 15 from the Gospel according to St. Luke, first 10 verses. Sveto evanđelje po Luci, 15. glava, prvih 10 stihova, da pročitamo Bogu na hvalu i na čast. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented.
Dear Father in heaven, we bow before thee in this evening with humble hearts, ready with thy help to receive a message from this thy holy word in this evening. Father, we are truly a blessed people, that we can have thy word open before us freely, that we can gather freely, and even take time out of this week to see, dear Father, what thou wouldst have for us, to see what teaching thou wouldst have for us this evening, dear Father. We pray that thou would help us to never lose sight of just how blessed we are for all that thou hast given unto us and all that thou dost continually do for us day by day. For the work was done for us on the cross, but, dear Father, the work that thou dost do for us continues each and every day. Thou dost call us to repentance when we fail thee, when we lose sight of what is important in our lives. Dear Father, thou dost call us back. And that is who thou art. That is how thou art, dear Father. Thou art a God that does seek after those that are lost. For even as thy Son has said, he is not come to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. And dear Heavenly Father, those of us in this place who have made a covenant with thee, we know that we were lost. We have felt, by thy grace, we have felt that we are lost. That revelation comes only through thee. And Father, we pray for all those in this place and all those all over the world who still have not yet made that covenant with thee, that thou would help them to realize that they are lost. Help them to see the state that they are in and to not be content with it, dear Father. Help us in those times when we lose our focus, that thou would help us to realize that this world truly does not matter, this life truly does not matter. The only thing that matters is remaining true and faithful unto thee, dear Father, and help us to keep that focus in every aspect of our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we know, even as we have read, that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And truly, dear Father, we have felt joy in our hearts, those of us who have given our lives over unto thee. We have felt a joy and a peace within us that nothing in this world can offer unto us. And dear Heavenly Father, that comes only through thee. That joy and that peace cannot be found without thee. For all those that are seeking after joy and peace in this world, we pray that thou would help them to not find it, to not find it in this world, dear Father, but reveal unto them that joy and peace with all men and with themselves even comes only through thee, through repentance, through dying to themselves, taking up their crosses daily and following after thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would help us to never give up on ourselves, to never even for one second give up on anyone else, dear Father. Thou dost continually call us, thou dost never give up on us, and help us to have that same heart as well, that we would never stop trying to bring others to repentance, for we must continue to labor in thy kingdom. We can plant and we can water, dear Father, but that is all we can do. It is thou, dear Father, that must give the increase. I pray that thou would help us to be found as laborers in thy vineyard each and every day. And so, Father, we pray that thou would be with our brother in this evening, that thou would give unto him the words to speak through the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we'd all leave this place with thy help in this evening, having been blessed to have been here, having thy word open unto us, dear Father, and we hope and pray that we would draw closer unto thee in our lives as a result of having been here in this evening. For we do pray and ask this all humbly in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to redeem human race, the fallen race. We were as filthy rags. We were all sinners. What the law could not do, for it was weak, God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and to die on the cross for all of us. God does not have pleasure to see a sinner die and perish. God looked down from heaven above and he saw the human race as sheep without a shepherd, scattered all over the place, without a goal, without a purpose, not knowing the right way, not knowing how to please God. So he sent his only beloved Son to save us, to find us, to save us. In this chapter, I'm sure we read it many times, especially about the lost son. It's three parables about the lost sheep, lost coin, and the lost son. Same parables, same meaning. But what is this chapter about? Is it about the lost sheep and the lost coin? It's more about compassion, love, mercy, and grace, God's grace. It's easy to get lost, very easy. Spiritually and in a physical sense. But it's not easy to be found. Even in this parable, the sheep that was lost was not able to find the way back. If he would, he wouldn't be lost. So he needed someone to find the lost sheep, to go after the lost sheep, to find it, to bring it back, to bring it back to the fold. So the reason Jesus spoke about these three parables was because the publicans and sinners, they came to hear him. And that wasn't the problem. They wanted to hear him. They were sinners, they were publicans. They realized the state they were in. But the Pharisees and scribes who thought of themselves that they were righteous, self-righteous, they were complaining, murmuring, yelling at Jesus. So this man, he's receiving sinners and he's eating with them. He's keeping company with them. And that was unheard of in their days. The Pharisees, scribes, the upper class, if you will, they did not keep company with sinners and publicans. They did not think that they were sinners. They knew the law. They proclaimed to know the law. They thought they were righteous. And yet they did not realize that they were the ones that needed the good shepherd. They were the ones that were lost. We know the parable of the Pharisee, as Jesus mentions also in Luke, I think in chapter 19 or 18, where the publican and Pharisee went to the temple to pray. So the Pharisee, he said he stood, he didn't even kneel down. And he's praying within himself. God, I thank thee not for the blessings, for mercy, for grace, for all the goodness. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust. And he names adulterers and, or even as this guy next to me. Then in his own prayer, he praises himself, what he does. He fasts twice a week. He gives tithes and all of all that I possess. He thought he was doing everything that he needed to do. He was a righteous man. Not realizing that he was blind, miserable, wretched, that he was the real, real sinner. And this publican that realized the state that he was in, he wouldn't even lift his head up. But he says in his prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. When someone admits, the only way to find redemption, the only way to find forgiveness, the only way to find a way back is to admit that you did wrong, to admit that you're a sinner. People that do not admit, how can they repent? In St. John chapter 9, we know the story about the blind man, the Pharisees. Let me find it quickly here. The last two verses of chapter 9 of John. Some of the Pharisees which were with him, when they heard the words about who is blind, who needs to see, they said, are we also blind? In their minds, they were not blind. They thought they can see perfectly well. And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. What does that mean? If you were blind, you don't have sin? If someone's blind, we usually say, he's blind, he cannot see, he has a sin, he's a sinner. But he says, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now we say, we see, therefore their sin remains. If you would admit that you are blind, then there's forgiveness, there's hope, there's a way back. You're admitting. But when you say, oh, I can see perfectly well, I do not need Jesus, I do not need anyone to open my eyes, your sin remains. If there's no repentance, the sin remains. Simple as that. There's another story, not a parable, but when Jesus was invited by another Pharisee, he invited him in to eat with him, and he did. He went even to Pharisees. Wherever he invited him, he went to. And as they were sitting there, it says a woman, this is written in Luke, also chapter 7, beginning on verse 36. He says, a woman in the city which was a sinner. So everyone knew that she was a sinner. And she didn't hide it either. The Pharisee knew, Jesus knew, pretty much everybody knew she was a sinner. What she did, I do not know, but she was a sinner. And she admitted. When she saw, or she knew that Jesus was there, she came in there and brought an alabaster box, which is a stone that's very easy to carve. So she had the box of ointment, and she stood behind him weeping, crying, and she started washing his feet with tears. There must have been a lot of tears to be able to wash the feet of Jesus. And she wiped them with her hair and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now this Pharisee, when he saw this, within himself, he's thinking, this man, he did not even call him Jesus at this time. This man, if he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. Pharisees would not have any publican or known sinner touch them, talk to them, visit with them, being even in close proximity from them. They had no dealings with them, none whatsoever. So if this man, if Jesus knew, if he was a prophet, he would really know he's a prophet. He would know what kind of a woman this is. So of course, Jesus, knowing his thought, he says to him, his name was Simon. He said, I have something to say to you. Now he calls him master. Say on, go ahead, say it. And then, as we know the story, he says to him, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other one 50. So neither one was able to pay, and he forgave both of them. So he asked him, which of them will love him most? We would answer it correctly too. If we owed someone $5 and someone else $50,000, and if he was forgiven us, we wouldn't have to pay. Of course, we would rejoice and love the one more that forgave us more with greater value. So he says, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said, yeah, you're right. And then he explains to him, when he came to his house, the Pharisee did not wash his feet, did not give him anything, did not do anything to make him feel welcome. But she did. And then he says, let's get the page here. Her sins, which are many, she was a great sinner, are forgiven. When she came into him, she realized that she was a great sinner. She realized that she needed help. And she knew the only way to be redeemed was by Jesus. She had the strong faith and she cried. She felt sorry for what she had done. That's the true repentance, to have the godly sorrow. Not to repent with words, saying, yeah, I made a mistake, and that's it. But to really, really feel it, to repent from the heart. When you repent from the heart, there are tears. You cannot hide them. It says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he told her that her sins are forgiven because she came for that reason, to be cleansed, to be redeemed, to be pure, to be free, to be set free, to be happy. And then he told her, as he told many that he healed, said, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Pharisees did not understand that. So the parable, first parable, speaks about if someone would have 100 sheep, if he would lose one of them, said, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Not for a few days, until it's light outside, as long as I can, until he find it. That's the good shepherd. That's the compassion. That's the pure love. Now, it does not mean that he did not care for the 99. They were in good hands. They were in the fold. They were protected. And when he found it, he did not just get the sheep and get the rod and try to chase it back. He said that he put it on his shoulders. That's written in Matthew. It's also the same parable that speaks about the lost sheep that has gone astray. And then when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulder, carries it back to the fold. To make sure that the sheep would not wander off again. We know about the sheep, how they're easily go astray, very easily. They have no sense of direction. Even if they hear the other sheep, if they see them, they still run the wrong way. Just the way the sheep are. And that's how we are. As I mentioned earlier, it's very easy to get lost. Even when we were driving on these roads, if we don't have a map or the right direction, very easy. Just take one wrong turn, and we end up in a place we've never been before. If we don't have directions, we can get lost very easily. What kind of a direction do we use? The Word of God, that's the only direction that we need. If we have it within our heart and our mind, then we won't get lost. We'll know where to go, where not to go. Satan will always tell us to go somewhere else. He's always offering another way, another road. Something that looks better, sounds better. But let's make sure, dear loved ones, that we keep our ears open, and that we will not allow the voices, the sounds of this world to keep us from hearing the blessed word. May we always keep our ears open to the blessed words of our Heavenly Father. You know, when God created us, He gave us a mouth that can close, and yet He gave us ears that cannot close. That should tell us something. Our ears should always be open to hear the blessed words of God. In our lips, sometimes we need to speak, sometimes we need to be quiet. There's time for everything. So when he came home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Then he says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." We know when we have a baptism, even if it's one soul, we always wish that many would come to God. But even if it's one, there's a great joy. It's a special occasion. And it's always mentioned that the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. And you know, even the parents rejoice when their children repent and come to the knowledge and understanding of God. My dear friend, one way to make your parents happy is for you to be happy. And for you to be happy, you have to become a child of God. Otherwise, that happiness that you might have, it's only for time being, maybe, if it's true happiness. Even those of us that were in the world before we converted, we had some days that we were happy and we thought, this is great. We really have the true happiness, until we realized that it was only temporary and it wasn't true. The joy to be a child of God, to be called a brother or a sister, to be the child of God, there's no greater joy. Not only here on this earth, but God has promised us heavenly home. The heavenly mansions. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, you can also be. If it was not so, I would have told you. There are many mansions in my Father's house. And they're prepared for all of us who wait for his second coming, for all of us that have been redeemed, that have found peace with God, that have repented, that were not lost. If we're in constant prayer, and if we read the blessed words of our Heavenly Father, if we meditate upon them day and night, if we continue in prayer, we cannot be lost. We cannot go astray. Sure, we will fail in our mind, in our thoughts, in our words, in deeds, things that we do. We all fail. What do we do about our mistakes that we make? We need to pray every day. There's a song that says, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" And I'm reminded of that song very often. Let's take time to pray in the morning when we wake up, before we lay down, before we eat, after we eat. Any free moment that we have, even if we cannot kneel down somewhere and pray, but keep in contact with our Heavenly Father. Be reminded, let us be reminded of the things that he has done. You know, nowadays, it's not, we don't have to always read from the Bible. We can listen. On my iPod, I have the whole Bible or the New Testament. I can always listen at work too. Keep in touch. You know, Satan is always trying to rob us. If we did not have anything precious in our heart, Anything, if we did not have anything worth stealing, he would not try to take away anything from us. A robber will not go into the house if there is nothing precious, anything that has value. A robber will not go into the house. He goes where there is something that he can steal that's precious, that's worth a lot. And Satan knows that we have the Holy Spirit within us, so he's trying very hard to take it away from us, take us back into the bondage. He comes with sweet words, promising, like he promised to Jesus, all you have to do is bow down before me. All the whole world is yours. Everything is yours. Jesus was tempted too, just like we get tempted. Yet he did not fail. He did not give in. You might say, well, he was the Son of God. He was powerful. We have the Spirit of God. We are powerful if we keep our God in our mind and in our heart. If we trust in God, we are powerful too. With his help, definitely. Satan can tempt us as much as he tempted Jesus. We do not have to give in. We have the power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from me. But if we open our ear, or if you open a door just a little bit, just to see what's out there, what does he have to offer? And we do that sometimes. We do fail. We do. But let us realize that when we do fail, pray to God for forgiveness. And then the other parable, he says also, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she would lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And again, last verse, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Great joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. When someone loses something, he says here, when she lost the one piece of silver, doth not light a candle. What does that mean in spiritual sense? Turning the lights on. What is light? The Word of God. To find someone, you need the Word of God. If someone goes astray, we cannot go after him without the Word of God and say, well, let me tell you, you need to come back now without speaking from the Word of God. We need to be the light. Sweep the house, make it clean. That goes for us too. We need to sweep our own heart. Before we can go after someone, we need to set our own house in order. It has to be swept. And then seek diligently till she find it. We know about the last parable. We read it many times about the son or the two sons. One went away, did not care for what he had, was not thankful for the blessing that he had until he spent everything that he had. When he was in great need, that's when he found out, that's when he realized, I should say, that he was lost. At least he came to his senses and he said, in my father's house, there's everything there. Here I am, starving, dying, from not being able to eat. What am I doing? He realized. So he came back to his senses and he went back. He had to humble himself. That wasn't easy. The way he left, he couldn't come back the same way. All proud. He didn't even ask his father, can I go? Give me the portion that belongs to me. And he left. Now he's coming back in humbleness and meekness. Take me as thy servant. He was ready for that too. But you see the compassion of his father, just like our Heavenly Father. He was happy that he came back. We can read, won't read it now, but just a few verses to mention. Ezekiel chapter 18. Speaks about, let me find it here. From verse 21, he said, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he had committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions, everything that he has done in the past that he had committed, they shall not be mentioned because he repented. He came to his senses. He realized it will not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he had done, he shall live. And then, as I mentioned earlier, have I any pleasure at all that wicked should die? Or the last verse says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. And then in verse 23 or 24, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits all the iniquity and do it according to all the abominations that the wicked man do it, shall he live? He will die. So let us be mindful of the words that we read tonight and that we read every time. Let's make time to read. If we wait to have time, we might never read. We're always so busy. But make time to read, meditate, and be in constant prayer. And God will bless us, and it will be well with us. And we will prosper. And at the end, when this life is over, we will have that everlasting life. We will live in those beautiful mansions. Jesus said, the apostle said that it did not even enter into our mind. We cannot even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. We've seen so many beautiful places here on this earth, God creation too, but think of the most beautiful place that you've ever seen. It cannot be compared to the heavenly mansions. We do not know what they look like, but it does say that we cannot even comprehend, we cannot even imagine. So it's worth to lose your life on this earth, so we can gain that heavenly light and those heavenly mansions. May God bless his word. Amen.